Hey there, wellness warriors. Welcome to the Anchor to Wellness Show, your compass in the sea of holistic health. I'm Casey Wallace, and I'm your passionate advocate for vibrant well-being. And after witnessing countless patients caught in the cycle of sick care model, I became really disenchanted with the conventional healthcare system. It's a system where people aren't truly getting better. They're just simply managing symptoms. But I refuse to accept this as the norm, and I'm determined to shift the paradigm from sick care to well care. I have embarked on a journey into the realms of functional medicine and holistic health, and in each of these episodes, we will dive deep into the latest research, debunking myths, and unlocking the secrets to optimal wellness. From brain health to hormone balance, we'll cover it all with a blend of science, soul, and a dash of controversy. Together, we're making waves to reclaim control of our health destiny and anchor ourselves to wellness. So whether you're seeking clarity on brain fog or ready to reclaim your vitality, you're in the right place. So let's make waves and set sail towards a life anchored in wellness. So today's episode is a deeply personal one for me, as I really would like to dive into some of the frustrations that I have with the general healthcare system today. As a board-certified family physician, I've transitioned my whole way of thinking more into a functional medicine approach because I started to understand the frustrations and limitations of the conventional healthcare system. My journey from conventional to more functional medicine was born out of a desire to really provide a more comprehensive and personalized care to my patients. And now that I can see how many people are suffering needlessly, I want to share more about why I made the transition. I want people to know that there really is a better way. My mission is to educate others to shoot for the stars when it comes to your health and wellness. And I do believe that people are not able to get that in the current healthcare system. I also realize that I can't see everyone that needs or wants to be seen. So that's why I'm here to educate you and why I've created this podcast. And I do firmly believe that conventional medicine does have its place and it is essential in many situations, but I could not ignore the growing frustrations I encountered. From being constrained by insurance regulations to feeling restricted in my own ability to truly connect with and understand my patients' health concerns, the limitations just became increasingly apparent. So despite these frustrations, I really maintain a deep respect for conventional medicine, and I do recognize its importance. However, it is really crucial to acknowledge and address the areas where it does fall short. So join me as we explore what these frustrations were for me, and we'll discuss the need for a more holistic approach to wellness. So one of my first frustrations is that it is mostly symptom-based medicine. In conventional healthcare, the predominant approach to diagnosis and treatment often revolves around managing symptoms rather than just addressing underlying root causes. And while this approach, it may provide temporary relief, it really fails to provide long-term solutions for real optimal health and well-being. One of the primary limitations of symptom-based medicine is its tendency to really overlook the interconnectedness of various bodily systems. Instead of treating the body as a whole, symptoms are often viewed in isolation, and that leads to fragmented care and missed opportunities for comprehensive healing. Relying solely on symptom management can mask underlying health issues, it can delay proper diagnosis and treatment, and this can result in a cycle of recurrent symptoms and ineffective treatments, and leaves us all feeling frustrated and disillusioned with the entire healthcare experience. Another drawback of symptom-based medicine is its focus on reactive rather than proactive care. By solely addressing symptoms as they arise, healthcare providers may miss the opportunity to identify and address potential health risks before they manifest as symptoms. Symptom-based medicine can contribute to the overuse of pharmaceutical interventions, leading to potential side effects and dependency on medications. Instead of addressing the root cause of health issues, medications may simply suppress symptoms, creating a false sense of health and well-being. And overall, while symptom-based medicine has its place in acute care and symptom management, it really falls short in providing comprehensive, patient-centered care that really addresses the underlying factors contributing to health issues. To truly promote optimal health and wellness, a shift towards a more holistic root cause approach is essential. In conventional healthcare, the focus is often on alleviating symptoms without addressing the underlying root cause of health issues,
And this approach really may provide only temporary relief, and it fails to promote long-term healing and well-being. I really want you to think about the concept of a tree. Think about the leaves on the tree. And I see that as more of where symptom-based management in conventional healthcare is focused. It's just whatever symptoms someone's having, and it's treated with a medication. And I really want to think about what's driving that, which most commonly is when you look at the trunk of the tree, it's more like inflammation, and some sort of chronic underlying inflammation is contributing to those symptoms. But even deeper than that is the roots. Like, what is the root cause of these conditions, whether it's what are we eating, our stress, or our supplements, or even just our gut health, or if we're deficient on hormones, what else is underlying that's contributing to this? So I like to work more down into the roots, and I want to provide some examples of how I would further describe this. Think about autoimmune disease and gut health. Many autoimmune diseases, such as rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or Hashimoto's thyroiditis, they have been linked to very poor gut health or even leaky gut syndrome. And the leaky gut syndrome is where the intestinal barrier becomes compromised, allowing toxins and undigested food particles and bacteria to leak into the bloodstream. This triggers an immune response, which leads to inflammation and potentially autoimmune reactions. However, in conventional medicine, the focus is often on just suppressing the immune activity through these medications rather than addressing the underlying gut dysfunction. Then let's take also another example would be skin conditions. Skin conditions like eczema or acne or even psoriasis are often treated with topical creams and medications that really just target things such as inflammation and itching. However, these treatments really fail to address the dietary factors that may be contributing to the skin condition. For example, certain foods like dairy or gluten or sugar have been linked to exacerbating skin inflammation and contributing to acne. Without addressing these dietary triggers, patients may continue to experience flare-ups despite this symptom management. By solely treating symptoms without addressing the underlying root causes, really conventional medicine may provide temporary relief, but fail to promote long-term health and wellness. So looking more at a holistic approach that looks at interconnectedness of all the body, such as gut health or dietary triggers or environmental toxins, can really promote health and well-being. Let's dive into another area of frustration that I have seen, and that revolves around lab reference ranges. So let's talk about what this even means. Lab reference ranges are commonly used to assess whether an individual's test results fall within a normal range. However, these reference ranges may not always reflect optimal health or individualized needs. One of the primary issues with lab reference ranges is that they are often based on population averages rather than just what is for optimal health. And as our population's health declines and chronic diseases become more prevalent, reference ranges are shifting to accommodate these changes, and lab companies often adjust these reference ranges to fit under a bell curve distribution where the majority of the population falls within the normal range. However, this approach could result in reference ranges that are skewed and fail to reflect true physiologic health. In many cases, reference ranges are becoming increasingly broad or nonspecific, making it difficult to detect subtle imbalances or early signs of dysfunction. For example, reference ranges for markers like thyroid and blood sugar have expanded over the years, and this leads to more individuals being categorized as normal despite potential health risk. This is one reason so many leave the doctor's office feeling frustrated by being told that their labs are normal, but they still feel terrible. This is why I feel like reference ranges should be consistent with optimal physiologic ranges and not normal levels. Optimal health is not a one-size-fits-all, and individuals may have different physiologic needs based on factors such as age or gender or genetics and even lifestyle. Therefore, relying solely on population-based reference ranges may overlook individual variations and even unique health considerations. So this is where functional medicine takes a more individualized approach to really interpreting lab results, and it focuses much more on those optimal levels instead of just normal levels. I've done many patients' labs, and even my own, for instance, that come back completely normal if you'd use the standard reference ranges. But once you go into optimal reference ranges, they are not normal labs. While lab reference ranges can really provide valuable information, they really should be interpreted in context of each individual. And shifting reference ranges and the trend towards broader non-physiologic ranges highlights the need for a more personalized approach to healthcare, and that can be unique to each individual. I also want to say there's a lot of issues with insurance regulations that play a significant role in determining which medical services and tests are even covered by patients. While insurance is really intended to provide financial assistance for necessary healthcare services, it can pose limitations, particularly when it comes to more comprehensive lab evaluations, because insurance companies want you to follow very strict medical necessity criteria to determine whether that particular test is covered. And if it's not medically necessary, they're not going to cover that test. So then, therefore, patients are not getting all the necessary labs that they're needing to further address their health concerns. One of the primary challenges patients and healthcare providers face is navigating this medical necessity criteria. While a comprehensive lab evaluation may be deemed necessary by the healthcare provider to fully assess a patient's health status, it may not meet the criteria established by the insurance company. And that results in denied coverage, or they won't pay. And then it becomes very costly, as there's significant financial barrier and creates significant out-of-pocket cost. Some tests are just not even covered, and that leaves the patient fully responsible for testing. The limitations imposed by these insurance regulations can have significant implications for patient care in general. Patients may be denied access to these important diagnostic tests that could provide valuable insights. So another frustration I have is significant time constraints placed on the whole system. In conventional healthcare settings, one of the most prevalent frustrations for both healthcare providers and patients alike is the limited time allotted for patient appointments. In today's fast-paced medical environment, healthcare providers are often under pressure to see a high volume of patients within a limited time frame, and that leaves limited opportunity for thorough and meaningful patient interactions. And this time constraints have significant implications for patient care. Patients may feel rushed or unheard during appointments, which leads to frustration and dissatisfaction and even mistrust in the whole healthcare system. So healthcare providers may struggle to fully understand and address their patients' healthcare concerns within the confines of this brief appointment. The lack of time spent with patients really represents a missed opportunity for comprehensive care. Without sufficient time to dive into patients' health histories and symptoms, the healthcare providers may very well overlook important details that could really impact diagnosis and treatment decisions. These rushed appointments may result in more focus on symptom management than addressing the underlying root causes of what is going on. Another frustration of mine is there are key topics in conventional medicine that are not really addressed. In conventional medicine training, there's often a significant gap in education regarding really important topics that are related to holistic health and wellness. While medical education typically focuses on diagnosing and treating acute illnesses and managing chronic diseases with pharmaceutical interventions, several key areas are often overlooked and given minimal attention. One of those is hormones. Hormonal balance plays a critical role in regulating numerous bodily functions, including metabolism and mood and sleep and reproduction. However, conventional medicine training often provides limited education on hormone physiology, imbalances, and treatment options beyond just these basic endocrine disorders. So many healthcare providers lack the knowledge and skills needed to effectively assess and address hormonal imbalances in their patients. While they're well-meaning, there's just not enough education provided here. The next area is in gut health. The gut microbiome plays a really crucial role in digestion, immune function, nutrient absorption, and overall health. Despite growing research highlighting the importance of gut health, conventional medicine training really typically provides minimal education on this topic. As a result, healthcare providers may overlook the potential role of gut dysfunction in contributing to a wide range of health issues, including many autoimmune conditions, mood disorders, and chronic inflammation. I will say this is how I got my start in functional medicine, was just based off my own need for further gut health, and I wasn't getting it addressed in conventional medicine. So now that I've been into functional medicine, I have a lot healthier gut health myself. And that's why I transitioned more into functional medicine. So I can do another episode on that and talk about how I got there in my own health. I also want to talk about cell membrane health. The health of the cell membranes is fundamental to cellular function and overall health. Cell membranes serve as gatekeepers, and they regulate the passage of nutrients and hormones and waste products in and out of cells. Conventional medicine does not really talk about cell membrane health and its overall implication for wellness, and therefore there may be missed opportunities to really address underlying cellular dysfunction in these patients. The next area I want to talk about is the role of supplements. While there are pharmaceutical medications that are commonly prescribed to manage symptoms and to treat various health conditions, the role of supplements in promoting health and preventing disease is often overlooked in conventional medicine training. Many healthcare providers receive minimal education on the benefits of nutritional supplements, botanicals, and other natural interventions in supporting overall health and well-being. As a result, patients may miss out on the potential benefits of these therapies that could really complement conventional treatments and enhance their overall outcomes. This is an area I had to spend a lot of time on to really learn more about, was how to manage more holistic with these supplements. The absence of education on these key topics in conventional medicine training represents this significant gap in healthcare education and practice. By incorporating these comprehensive trainings on these areas, healthcare providers could further address root causes of illness and be more proactive instead of reactive. I have spent countless hours revamping my education to be able to learn more in these specific areas. It has been a lot of hard work on my own, and it has taken a lot of extra financial resources to be able to do this work, but I am so thankful I continue to be able to dig deeper and learn more on these topics. Another area I feel a lot of frustration in conventional medicine is in the area of medication side effects and nutrient deficiencies that are caused by medications that are not addressed. In conventional medicine, pharmaceutical drugs are commonly prescribed to manage symptoms and treat various health conditions, and medications can be really effective in alleviating symptoms and improving quality of life. However, they often come with a range of side effects that can really impact nutrient status and overall health. Many pharmaceutical drugs can deplete essential nutrients in the body through various mechanisms. For example, certain medications may interfere with absorption or metabolism or excretion of nutrients, and this leads to a lot of deficiencies over time. And some drugs may increase nutrient requirements or even impair nutrient utilization, further exacerbating the entire nutrient depletion. Several classes of medications are known to have significant impacts on nutrient status. For example, proton pump inhibitors, which are used to treat a lot of acid reflux, can reduce stomach acid production, which can lead to impaired absorption of key nutrients such as vitamin B12 or iron or calcium and magnesium. And diuretics can do the same thing, as they are excreting a lot of extra electrolytes like potassium and magnesium, and that can lead to further deficiencies. Other common medications that cause nutrient deficiencies are oral contraceptives, antibiotics, statins, and some sleep medications. I do not want you to stop your medications without talking with your doctor. This is just so you can be aware that there are nutrient deficiencies created by certain medications. There are consequences of these nutrient deficiencies. Nutrient deficiencies can have far-reaching consequences for overall health and well-being, and essential nutrients play vital roles in numerous physiologic processes, including energy production, immune function, hormone regulation, and cellular repair. Therefore, deficiencies in key nutrients can contribute to a wide range of health issues, including fatigue and immune dysfunction, mood disorders, musculoskeletal problems, and impaired cognitive function. So let's talk about lack of addressing these nutrient deficiencies. Despite the known impact of medication side effects on nutrient status, nutrient deficiencies are often overlooked or not adequately addressed in conventional medicine. Healthcare providers may focus primarily on managing symptoms with medications without considering the potential impact on nutrient status or the need for nutritional support. Many times these nutrient deficiencies cause even more health concerns, and then more medications are used to treat those symptoms that have developed which cause more issues, and that just perpetuates the entire cycle. So recognizing and addressing medication-induced nutrient deficiencies is essential for optimizing health outcomes and minimizing the risk associated with these adverse effects. Another frustration I have surrounding conventional medicine and our broken healthcare system is challenges with big pharma. Big pharmaceutical companies have significant influence over medical practices and treatment options, and they really do shape the landscape of modern healthcare in really profound ways. From drug development to marketing and lobbying efforts, pharmaceutical companies play a central role in driving the prescriptions of medications and influencing clinical decision making. Many times, the only way providers learn about new medications is from drug reps for that company. So you can see how the more a drug rep visits a doctor's office to discuss their drug, the more likely the provider is to start using that medication. Pharmaceutical companies invest billions of dollars in research and development to bring their new drugs to market. While this investment is critical for advancing medical science and innovation, it also creates a financial incentive for companies to prioritize the development of blockbuster drugs with high profit potential, often at the expense of research into less lucrative areas such as preventative medicine or natural therapies. Pharmaceutical companies employ extensive marketing and promotional strategies to increase the uptake of their products among healthcare providers and consumers. Direct-to-consumer advertising or sponsored medical programs or even incentivized interactions with healthcare providers are common tactics that are used to help influence prescribing patterns. Have you ever really thought about why medications are marketed on television? In my opinion, this absolutely should not happen. Pharmaceutical companies often cultivate a lot of relationships with healthcare providers through various means, and this can be a conflict of interest, in my opinion, and that can lead to overprescribing of certain medications or reliance on brand name drugs over generic alternatives. Pharmaceutical companies have significant influence over regulatory agencies that are tasked with overseeing drug safety and efficacy. Regulatory capture, whereby industry interests influence government decision-making processes, can result in lax oversight of drug approvals, limited post-market surveillance of adverse effects, and delayed regulatory action in response of safety concerns. A large portion of the FDA is funded by Big Pharma. Just go take a look at that. Just Google it and see what you come up with. Pharmaceutical companies engage in extensive lobbying efforts to shape healthcare policy and legislation in ways that benefit their interest. This includes advocating for favorable reimbursement policies. Why do you think you have to change medications every year? Because your medication's now all of a sudden not covered. And then there's patent protections and then regulatory reforms that enhance market exclusivity and profitability for their products. I encourage you sometimes just go Google who are some of the biggest lobbyists in DC. It can be really eye-opening. The influence of Big Pharma extends to the availability and accessibility of treatment options for patients. Drug pricing practices, patent monopolies, and market exclusivity agreements can limit competition and drive up healthcare costs, making certain medications unaffordable or inaccessible for patients in need. I also want to spend just a moment talking a little more about insurance regulations because they do play a critical role in determining the scope of healthcare services covered by patients. I do think insurance is needed and I'm not against insurance. I just wish more alternative treatments were covered, such as acupuncture or chiropractic care or massage or naturopathic medicine or reflexology or even nutritional counseling, because these often just don't meet the criteria for coverage and it really can make the patient have to bear this full cost out of pocket when ultimately these alternative treatments can be highly helpful to help patients with their overall health and well-being. Today, we've explored the frustrations with conventional medicine. We've looked at everything from how it's focused on symptoms to how there's skewed lab reference ranges, there's limited time for evaluation, there's not good teaching overall for certain aspects that really get into root cause medicine, and then we have insurance coverage issues as well as influence of Big Pharma. It can just get really overwhelming, and again, I'm not totally against conventional medicine. It is needed. It's just that there are other ways that can really be helpful. And there is good news. You don't have to wait for changes in the system to take control of your health. Join us on this journey as we continue to dive deeper into holistic approaches and empower you with the knowledge and strategies to optimize your well-being. Together, let's shoot for the stars in our health and wellness journey because every small step counts. If the conversation we started today really resonates with you, I invite you to hit that like and follow button, subscribe to the podcast so you will never miss an episode as we unravel the secrets to holistic well-being. And don't forget to check out the show notes for some special insights, additional resources, and perhaps a surprise or two. It's a treasure of information that complements what we discuss here. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Anchor to Wellness Show. Together, let's anchor ourselves to a life of vibrant well-being. Until next time, take care, stay curious, and embrace the journey to holistic vitality. Stay anchored and stay well.